and welcome to the Burning Questions podcast, hosted by the Boiling Springs Fire District in Greenville, South Carolina. Today we have a very special guest. It is our fire chief, Steve Graham. Welcome to the show.
Thank you, Chris. It's exciting to be here. We've been trying to do this for quite some time now, so I'm glad to finally get this off the ground. So thank you for putting this together.
Not a problem, Chief. Anything we can do to help, we're always here. So let's just take a few minutes and let you introduce yourself and how you became a fire chief, how long you've been on the job, and what you prioritize as being a fire chief.
Okay. Well, I've been here since 1986. May 28th will be 38 years for me here at Boiling Springs. I did serve some time as a volunteer in West Virginia when I was really young, and then did some time in the military. So I've been around a day or two. Like I said, I started here as a firefighter and moved up through the ranks to company officer. And then the opportunity came along in 1993 to assume the training officer's position, which was really what interested me my entire career. And it opened a lot of doors. I made a lot of good friends over the years. I enjoy teaching. I still teach for the Fire Academy, mostly in the chief officer suite and the leadership suite of classes. So I remain very active there. So it was just that natural progression through the ranks. I was the training officer for about 17 years. And then when Chief Luker retired, the board offered me the job as fire chief, and here we are today.
So you've been in the fire service quite a long time. Have you seen many changes in the fire service over those years?
Oh, many, many changes. You know, I kind of came along at the end of the era of the leather lung mentality. Mm-hmm. Of course, new equipment was beginning to come into fire departments. They were becoming better funded in the late 70s, early 80s. Turnout gear was changing. SCBA was starting to take hold. New techniques, very specialized technical training rather than someone just saying, here's how to hold a hose. You actually had a training procedures. So I saw that change. And then as you look at history, just from the 1980s to now, all the things that have affected the fire service and how we've evolved from kind of a single service delivery mode, which was fires mainly, to technical rescue, hazardous materials, terrorism, it runs the gamut. And then, of course, we were extremely affected by the COVID pandemic and had to adapt to that as well. So there's been significant changes all through my career, and I kind of feel fortunate, like most people my age, that we were a part of a lot of dynamic change through the years.
You mentioned change, you mentioned moving forward. What are some new things in our district that you've observed or things that we can look to come in the future?
Well, when I began here, this was still a very rural area. A lot of two-lane roads, single-lane roads, a few subdivisions were coming in. The Pelham Road corridor was still two lanes, not a lot of development there. And we saw that development change over the years to a very busy, bustling, congested area. And one of the things I'm very proud of recently is we were able to participate with Greenville County and local business leaders in the Pelham Road Corridor Overlay Initiative to begin looking at what Pelham Road will look like in the future. As development changes, as redevelopment occurs, making it more accessible, more walkable, and safer for our citizens.
Well, and part of that is just, you mentioned the congestion, being that Pelham Road bisects Interstate 85, that's a huge traffic hazard for a lot of people. How does this Pelham Road corridor overlay, how does that play into those traffic patterns?
Well, if you look at it during the day, some of the business leaders that were involved were very vocal that one of the biggest things that contributes to the congestion, especially at lunchtime, is it's not walkable. You can't get anywhere. It's too dangerous to cross the parkway, for instance, Old Boiling Springs Road, Beacon Drive. So when everybody goes to lunch, everybody's driving a car. So you have all that congestion down there. So that's the main gist of it in the future.
What are some upcoming events or initiatives that you'd like to share with our listeners?
Well, obviously, we have our new Station 11 being built at 505 Harkness Drive. If you haven't been by to see that site, it's coming along. Things are changing on that site rapidly day by day. So we're excited about that. And that also plays into the subject we were just talking about, which is the congestion on Pelham Road, because where our current Station 11 is sitting, we are contributing to the problem. We have to get moved so that DOT can add turn lanes to the intersection and relieve a little bit of that congestion, which in turn would hopefully help our response times and be a little safer for our firefighters getting out.
Absolutely. And then just an update, I know that we have the 9/11 memorial right there on the road.
Right.
Just so the listeners know, is that going to be relocated to the new station?
Absolutely. Now, that memorial cannot be paid for with taxpayer funds. So we're working with the Harkness family and some other business leaders to do some fundraising and move that memorial lakefront adjacent to the new station.
That's going to be very nice.
Yes.
And then as you just mentioned, money being allocated for specific things and things that it can't be allocated for, can you give us just a rough overview of Boiling Springs' budget and how it's allocated and who makes those decisions?
Right. Our budget development process is actually beginning now in early January. Our budget is formulated and administered at all levels of our rank structure. So we have all of our folks are involved in some way, shape, or fashion with either developing or maintaining the budget. So we're beginning the process now of doing those submittals, looking out into the next year, making sure we're funded adequately in all those line items, looking at any potential new ones. One of the big ones coming up this year is we have to replace turnout gear from head to toe. It's all over its 10-year life limit. So that's going to be about a $350,000 expenditure to keep our firefighters safe. So that's the big thing we're looking at this year. One of the things I'm proud of is we've been able to continually increase our pay and benefits for our personnel, which is the most valuable asset we have.
Okay, and you mentioned outfitting a firefighter head-to-toe new turnout gear. I know that we're coming due for SCBAs. Just for the listeners, how much does that cost, just a ballpark figure, to get a firefighter who just came in, new hire, in new turnout gear, which is coat, pants, boots, gloves, helmet, flash hood, and then the SCBA air pack and cylinder. About how much does that run?
Right now, we're getting ready to go out for bid for that now, but the estimates we're getting is roughly $4,500 a person, and that's 65 sets a gear. Plus, you need to have some extras as it's damaged on fire scenes and emergency events, things like that, even in training. So you have to have some extra gear in order to equip your firefighters. SCBA, you and I both have worked on a grant for a couple of years now, been unsuccessful so far, but we're still optimistic that we'll be able to get funded at least partially to help replace our SCBA. But right now, SCBA is running just under $10,000 a unit, and that's 60 units that we have to fit every riding position on our apparatus.
And you mentioned riding positions on the apparatus. Just again, for the listeners, a brief overview of the department. Daytime populations, what, about 40,000? Is that what we said?
Nighttime is right at 38,000. Okay. Daytime, 60 to 65,000. We do have some larger businesses that have not come back from COVID. They're still doing remote work, ScanSource, for instance. So that's down a little from what it used to be, which has helped the traffic situation some, but not enough. I think Michelin's the same way. I don't know if they're back at full strength or not in their building. So a lot of change there coming too. There's constant redevelopment going on, as you know, being involved in the fire prevention division.
Oh, absolutely. Is there anything else you'd want to talk to our audience about or bring up before we close this for the day?
No, there's just a lot of exciting things coming up. Obviously, in 2024, the new station, we hope to be moved in there between Thanksgiving and Christmas next year. And then we'll put that property up for sale after DOT determines what they need for right-of-way for intersection improvements at Pelham and Garlington. The other thing, we've got some things coming up that I think are pretty exciting. One of the things that, as a fire chief, that I've been working on for several years is to come up with a way to take better care of our families that maybe insurance doesn't pay for. It's those out of the way one-off things that happens with families. It's life that happens. And we've been fortunate enough to have some donors to set up a benevolence fund, so we'll be rolling that out soon. Our chaplain Celeste Cathcart is heading that initiative up, so that's going to be exciting news for all of our families.
I want to say a special thank you to you for coming in and spending some time with me today. You answered a lot of really great questions. You gave a lot of good information to our community. Typically, these podcasts are for safety messaging and things like that, but we both agreed getting a message from the fire chief, getting some information straight from the person on the top is really, really critical to get that good, solid, clear information both to our people and to our community.
Thank you, Chris, and thank you again for doing this, because one of our goals is to be a very transparent and open organization. We want our constituents to know what's going on at Boiling Springs. Thank you.
Not a problem. Thank you, sir. So with that, again, thank you, and then I hope everybody has a wonderful day. Remember, stay safe out there.